I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading today comes from John 21, verses 1 through 19. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias and showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered, "No." He said to them, "Cast the nets on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was not now the third time that Jesus appeared before disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to them, "Lord, you know everything, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger and you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished, but when you grew old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you, take and where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate that the kind of death of which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this word.
Thank you, Richard. Appreciate that. Does anything about this scripture strike you funny? Anything at all? Not funny in a ha-ha sense, although that's okay if it does, but perhaps funny in what we've read before. You know, we've gone through John now for 3 Sundays, and you might make note that this is the third time that Jesus has appeared. The fourth, if you count the time that he appeared to Mary Magdalene. Rather interesting. What were the disciples doing? Fishing. Didn't Jesus commission them to go out and preach the gospel? Where does he find them? They're back at their old job. They're fishing. You might ask yourself, what's up with that? 3 times he's met with them. 3 times he's told them that they're supposed to be out bringing people to God, and they're fishing. Fishing. You know, gutting worms didn't sound fun to me when I was little. In fact, it sounded downright cruel. I could not imagine forcing a fish hook through a slimy body of an innocent worm for sport or fun. But when I was 6 years old, my Uncle James invited me to spend the day with him on his boat. I'd never gone fishing on a boat before. My dad always gave us cane poles when we went to the river. So being on a boat was a really big thing. And he also wanted me to be sure and be ready for anything that would happen on the boat. And one of the things I had to be ready to do is to put a worm on a hook. I was reluctant. I was scared my soul was in jeopardy, or whatever a six-year-old thinks about an endangered soul. So Uncle James asked, "Can you do it, kid?" Evidently, I wanted to go in the boat and spend time with him more than I was concerned about my soul, because I said yes. And off we went. The first 30 minutes was exciting. For those of you who have been fishing, you might understand this. It was pretty exciting. I mean, I hadn't done this before on a boat. I got to help gas and drive the boat, and I learned about my uncle's saucy speech habits. Then we started fishing, and I was tasked with baiting the hooks. And then it got exceptionally boring. We had to wait long periods for bites, and several times we failed to land our catch. It just somehow came right off the hook before I could get it into the boat. I learned that day that fishing was not going to be the love of my life. There's a lot of preparation, waiting, and disappointment in fishing. And this is exactly where we enter this text. In a moment of frustration for these fishermen, they have been fishing all night to no avail. They're tired and they're disappointed. They just want to go home. This chapter of John is likely an addendum written by another, but the questions of its origin should not keep us from seeing the richness of the images that it gives us. In a story very similar to one in the Gospel of Luke, Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, Zebedee's sons, and two other disciples were together fishing in the Sea of Galilee. They have returned to their previous vocation and head back to shore with empty nets after some time fishing. Now think about this. They are not out spreading the gospel, but went back to their previous vocation. How many of us are baptized and say, "We want to work for the Lord. I want to be baptized in the Lord." We get baptized, we show up for church a couple of Sundays, and then we leave. Go back to what we were doing. They are not out spreading the gospel. And there stands Jesus. His call to them is to go back out and try again, and he gives them instructions as to the next step. He tells them to put the nets out on the right side of the boat, and they follow his instructions. Now, in Luke, which is rightly called a commissioning story, this appearance to the disciples is the third resurrection appearance. In John, in this setting, we experience a recommissioning of sorts. Now, in Luke, it's only that one time, but here we've got a third and possibly fourth, again, if you count Mary Magdalene, but it's a recommissioning. The amazing thing to me is that the disciples did not know who he was at first. Four times. They didn't know who he was. Kind of interesting, isn't it? How many times do you have to see someone before you know who they are? Well, so, was it their desperation for a catch, a love of task, a desire for success, a sense of speechlessness or specialness that a man that they didn't recognize told them to go back out and they did? They didn't recognize him, but he said, "Go back out," and they did. Wonder how that works. Whatever it was, they ventured back out and found huge success. Their nets were overflowing. They catch, we're told, 153 fish. Why that number? Many have guessed that it simply implies all of the community of believers. The number for most folks simply implies that they caught a lot of fish. We don't know. 153, pretty specific number. In earlier accounts, when they fish, we just hear a great number. We don't get a specific number. So they have breakfast with the man they now recognize as Jesus. It is a Eucharistic event, despite the lack of wine. and that no Eucharistic celebration consisted of fish previously. And it is at this meal they receive a recommissioning from the Lord. They are reminded who they are, what they were originally called to be. They are challenged to get back in the boat and try again in more ways than one, as many of us are. Baptized, fall away, come back. Oh, by the way, did you remember you're one of Jesus' disciples? You're to be out. You know how that works. A friend of mine was told by his supervising pastor while out knocking on doors during an evangelism campaign, "Bill, you look like a man knocking on doors, hoping and praying no one will answer." A lot of us do that. We become Christians, and it's not about that we really want to reach out to people. We're hoping and praying that we don't have to. So the disciples, they hear Jesus, and he says, "Go out, go into the world, bring disciples, get more." They say, "Okay, Lord," and they go fishing. That's how many of us act at times when Jesus calls us to be disciples and to cast our nets again and again for the catch that Jesus calls us to attempt. The disciples did as Jesus suggested, while we say, "Please let no one be home." And, "Oh, wow, I hope no one will ask me about my faith." Have you ever found that to be true? People become Christian, and then when they're asked about their faith, they kind of get quiet. They don't know what to say. Following the call of Jesus means putting your nets back into the sea, even though you are tired and had no success. It means knocking on another door, even though you are hoping against hope no one answers. This is the kind of text that allows for some creative discussions in the church. Discussions of what church and ministry might look like if we dropped our nets on the other side, if we really followed Jesus. But you need to be attuned. You need to be attuned to your particular community to be true to what this call might look like lived out in your context. We notice in our area around the church, the area's changed. For those of you who have been here for a long time, would you say this area is different than it was in the 60s and 70s? Are we ministering in that context of the 60s and 70s or in today's world? Jesus looks at the disciples. They're fishing. They're saying, "Hey, there's no fish." He says, "Try the other side." In other words, try something different. You might catch something. The second part of this passage is one of my all-time favorites. It's related to Peter and his relationship to Jesus. Peter is mentioned first as one of the disciples on the shore in the earlier part of this little pericope. This now allows for a conversation of great importance. Earlier, Peter denied Jesus three times. And in this exchange, Jesus reinstates Peter into the fold by asking him three times to take care of his sheep. Peter's importance is being reinforced and his death foretold. An author and a teacher tells the story of a young man who strayed from the Lord, but was finally brought back by the help of a friend who really loved him. When there was full restoration, the author and teacher asked this Christian how it felt away from the Lord. The young man said it seemed like he was out at sea in deep water, deep trouble. And all his friends were on the shore hurling biblical accusations at him about justice, penalty, and wrong. But there was one Christian brother who actually swam out to get me and would not let me go. I fought him, but he pushed aside my fighting, grasped me, put a life jacket around me, and took me to shore. By the grace of God, he was the reason I was restored. He would not let go. I have no doubt this is how Peter felt. You deny the Lord three times, then he shows up. What do you say? What do you say? What did Jesus say? He said, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord." "No." "Do you love me?" "Yes, I do." "Do you love me?" You denied me three times. Now I want you to affirm three times that you truly love me and you're all about the ministry that I have commissioned you for. Because quite frankly, where I'm sitting, you're out fishing, not for fishers of men, but you're catching fish again. Peter had to be astounded. Look at what the Lord has done. As this exchange occurs, the other disciples who had been so present in the fishing scene disappear. We don't hear anything about them. We don't know where they are when Jesus talks to Peter. This happens because the church, without Jesus physically present, needed Peter as the rock Jesus intended him to be. The call to feed my sheep, to love and lead Jesus' followers, is an important moment for the next step in the church to come. Jesus wasn't going to move forward without Peter. I gave you a commission. You're going to fulfill that commission. Because you denied me doesn't mean that you can just walk away. Because I forgive you. I chose you. I need you. For those of us who have been baptized, for those of us who have gone through the training to be a Christian, how many of us have gone back to fishing and we're not out there doing what we were called? A burglar broke into a house one day. As he was stealing the valuables, he heard a voice out of the darkness that said, "Jesus is watching you." He almost choked. He stopped, looked around, and then shook off his fear and went on stealing some more. Suddenly, just as before, the voice came and said, "Jesus is watching you." He was trembling so bad he could hardly contain his composure. He finally approached the corner, and there was a birdcage with the cover over it. The words came from the cage, "Jesus is watching you." The thief pulled off the cover and saw the parrot. He said with an angry voice, "What is your name?" The parrot replied, "Moses." The thief replied, "What kind of weird person would name a parrot Moses?" The parrot replied, "The same kind of weird person that would name a Doberman Jesus." Brothers and sisters, if we learn nothing else from this scripture this morning, let us learn that Jesus is watching us. That he doesn't give up on us. And even though we've been commissioned and fallen away and gone back to fishing, Jesus is still calling us. And you know how he does that? He says, "Do you love me? Tend to my sheep. Do you love me? Tend my sheep." And a third time, "Do you love me? Tend my sheep." This is also a time that we can embrace the reality of the fishermen doing something that might seem absurd to others, like going back to being fishermen. We know that we're susceptible to doing the same. And one who denied the Lord to become the rock that leads the church, he denied the Lord. Then he didn't recognize the Lord, but it didn't change that he was called. And Jesus wouldn't let go of that calling. What Jesus says to each and every one of us today and for the rest of our Christian lives are, "You are worthy. Act like it. Tend my sheep." You are worthy. Feed my sheep. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come before you this day, we know that oftentimes it seems so hard to do the work that you have set us to do, so we go back to doing the old things that we used to do. We ask that you renew our hearts and our minds, that you fill us with your Spirit, that we may feel the power that you give us, that we may go forth boldly and do the work that you have set us to do, not to be discouraged, but to be encouraged. That your work and your will be done, for we ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week
as God's word is brought to you.